Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hey, and good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We got a great show for you this morning. I appreciate you tuning in. And be sure to call us anytime during or after the show with any questions you got. 704-999-6646. We do have a phenomenal show for you today, talking about some more unique type mortgage products that help out, you know, customers and clients that want to buy a home but maybe not being able to fit right into, you know, a specific box. We've got Andy Purcell here, longtime history in this particular space. He works directly with lending institutions, loan officers, giving them the knowledge that we can take and then bring to the marketplace to make sure if someone's out there who wants to purchase a home that we've got a product that allows them to do that. Andy, thanks so much for being here. How are you? How are you doing?
Not doing too bad at all. I appreciate the time today. It's funny that when you asked me to do this, I always laughed and said my Uncle Pete said that I had a face for radio, so I guess it's all coming together, right?
Absolutely. Well, you're a good-looking guy, man, and we certainly appreciate you being here. Tell us, kind of give us, I've known you for a very long time in this space. I think, you know, fairly shortly after I got in the business, you know, 15 years ago or so. Kind of give us an idea of your experience in this business, in the mortgage industry. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I guess about the same time, you and I think we cut our teeth pretty much together in the early 2000s. And that's where I decided to get into the lending world and jumped into the subprime world is what it was called back then. And back then, I think everybody would agree, programs got really, really relaxed. So there were great intentions, right? Because there's a big section of the market where people are underserved and either they can't fit into a traditional government loan or program because of income or credit or whatever their circumstance might be.
Right.
And so there's a big segment that needed some help. And so the companies back in the mid-2000s were set up to, you know, cater to that market. And things really were probably going pretty well until enough people got in there and the I guess it just got too relaxed, right?
Right.
And the guidelines got easier and easier, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And I think ultimately where it got, you know, ran into its biggest problems was when you started having less skin in the game, right? So when the program started coming out to where borrowers didn't have to have any down payment and were able to just walk into a loan with no money down or no skin in the game, that's where we started running into some issues. So, you know, the biggest change that I have seen over the past 15 years and where we're at in today's market is that in today's world, borrowers have to have skin in the game. So they're going to have at a minimum of 10% down and quite often 20 to 30% down. And I think that the track record, you know, as these loans perform, it's showing that, you know, that's really going to be the biggest difference is if a borrower has some skin in the game, then they're showing that they're going to pay their bills.
Yeah, I kind of liken it back in the, you know, the early mid-2000s. I kind of say it was almost like an arms race between certain companies because, you know, they were people wanted these loans and they wanted to get in the house and whether they could – you know, we could argue the merits of these products for sure, but you know, there were enough people out there who needed and wanted these types of products, and then you had the companies that were willing to get more aggressive each time and to make that happen, and of course it got to a point where it was too aggressive, and that certainly didn't help the marketplace at all.
Yeah, I think that you know, one thing to note is that in this space, you know, we're not competing with your traditional lending sources. So we're not doing any govy or agency stuff. So there's, you know, the terms people are familiar with would be your Fannie Mae and your Freddie Mac, FHA, VA type programs. And we don't do any of that type of stuff. So our programs have a niche for borrowers that cannot fit into those traditional lending avenues. So if they can go there, clearly, you know, you would take them that direction, right?
Of course, yeah. And so, not to cut you off, but, you know, when you walk in, you know, for listeners, you know, at home, if you walk into a mortgage shop or, you know, a bank trying to get a mortgage, every loan that they're going to have, certainly from a bank side, is going to be either guaranteed, insured, or backed by the federal government. What we call those, you know, government loans or agency loans, conventional, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Those are, you know, semi-government agencies who buy these mortgages once they're securitized and sold as a securitized investment. Not to get too into detail there, but they're essentially backed by the federal government, and in many ways backed by the American taxpayer as well, as we found out you know, a few years ago when we, the taxpayer, bailed out these quasi-government agencies for writing, you know, some bad deals. They've got really strict guidelines. So again, whether you're going to, you know, ABC Mortgage or ABC Bank, what happens? They're all pretty much underwriting to the same agency guidelines, conventional, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or government, you know, FHA, VA, USDA. But for a lot of people, they don't fit into those boxes, and it's about creating an outlet for a good outlet for qualified people who need and want to buy a house, but maybe not fit into those, you know, more strict guidelines. And so that's certainly where, you know, where you come in, Andy, as far as, you know, putting deals together that that help people, and it just requires a little bit more money down.
Yeah, I would say, you know, on the front end, the easy thing would be clearly the down payment, right? So
yeah,
all of our programs are going to require anywhere from, you know, 10% down or more. But, you know, our underwriting is a lot more stringent than it was back in, you know, the mid-2000s as well. So in today's market, again, the ability to repay is front and center on everything. And some of the things, while we don't require mortgage insurance on our programs, our underwriters do look at the borrower's income. And, you know, things like residual income and reserves, those are things that our underwriters are going to, you know, look at a borrower to make a determination on whether or not it's a person they want to give a loan to.
Right. Talk about residual income. Just kind of clarify what that is for everyone.
So residual income in my world is after a borrower pays their monthly bills, you know, their mortgage and car payment and credit cards, whatever.
Right.
Do they have extra money left over? So, you know, some people would call it residual income, but
yeah,
it's just, do they have extra money at the end of the month to pay their bills so that, you know,
right,
let's say they're not having to decide whether to put tires on their car or
right.
Make
so
their,
so
their
if you make $5,000 a month and all your bills and mortgage and everything included is $4,000 a month. You've got a residual income of $1,000 a month.
Correct.
So money that hopefully people are putting to savings. So when that, you know, tire does blow, they've got the funds to pay for that.
Absolutely. And then, you know, if you do run into that month where, you know, you had to have a big something fixed at your house, your air conditioning went out or something went wrong with your car or whatever, you know, we want to see that you have some reserves saved up, you know, typically anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Worth of reserves, so that if you do have that 1 month where a big bill comes and you know, lands in your lap, that you have the ability to manage your cash flow and not get behind on your mortgage payment. You know, the last thing we want is the borrower's having to struggle with the decision on, am I going to pay my mortgage payment or am I going to have to pay this bill?
Yeah.
So those are the things that our underwriters try to get out in front of
right,
when they're underwriting these deals these days.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, you're kind of looking at the financial picture where, you know, as someone going to a more, you know, conventional type of loan, the underwriters are looking for, you know, past, present, you know, like all these different things. You're kind of, you know, taking a stance where looking at the financial picture, you know, how good are they with money? And how likely are they to pay pay the mortgage?
Yeah, that's a fair statement. And you know, like I said, there's no mortgage insurance on our products, but you know, the rates are a little bit higher than your traditional
sure.
Programs that are backed by mortgage insurance. So we do build the risk into the rate. So the lesser down payment that someone requires or wants, the rate's going to be adjusted for the risk. So you know. It's a give take, right? If somebody's going to put more skin in the game, then they're going to get a lot better rate because yeah. It's less risk to the lender.
But I can say, like I said, I've worked with you for well over a decade, and really a lot over the past few years. you know, as this market, you know, kind of comes back and gets bigger, especially, you know, we've done a number of deals for self-employed people, and we're going to, you know, get into detail on that. But, you know, as you know, if you own a business, you know, you can, you know, write off a lot of your income and not pay taxes on that. Totally legit. And unfortunately, in the mortgage world, when you write, you know, when you take deductions and write off, you know, a lot of income, stuff like that, you're not going to qualify for those loans. So that's just one area that we're going to get into. If you got questions, be sure to give us a shout during or after the show, 704-999-6646. You are listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, and we've got Andy Purcell here in the studio with us. So, Andy, kind of maybe start talking about where some of these loans fit into to creating, you know, solutions to borrow problems out there.
Yeah, so we tailor to a niche of people that really can't fit into traditional lending. So on a high end, we have alternative lending programs for borrowers with really good credit, but maybe they're outside a traditional jumbo. Maybe they're inside of a jumbo loan, right? And they can get some decent programs from, you know, banks and other institutions, but we will cater to people who have had some life events or credit events. So if you can't fit into a traditional avenue because of things like bankruptcies or foreclosures, or you want a 10% down payment on a jumbo loan, we have some niche programs that can offer some different ways for borrowers to get into a home that can't, you know, go through the traditional stuff. So
I recall one loan in particular that we did together. This was probably a few years ago, almost 3 years ago now, maybe. But I actually had a guy, longtime employee of the state of New York, very nice pension plan, finally retired, nice pension. Came down to the Charlotte area and opened up a restaurant. That was like his retirement goals, to retire down south and open up a restaurant. Well,
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, unfortunately, he remembers it too, and it didn't go well for him, and he ended up declaring bankruptcy. You know, older gentleman just retired, tried to start a restaurant, didn't go well. So, you know, he was forced to do a bankruptcy to roll up all that business debt, write that off through bankruptcy. Unfortunately, now, you know, he's down here in Charlotte, was trying to get started, had that life event. And if he wanted to go get a mortgage from, you know, your typical, you know, conventional type situation, you know, they're going to require at least 4 years removed from that bankruptcy discharge date. Well, just like, you know, like you were talking about, you know, everything else, you know, his past looked great, still had great income, just, you know, just had a failed business. And, man, I know a lot of people that can relate. Well, we ended up getting him, a brand new home. And of course, he's been paying, you know, on time ever since. I mean, it's things like that where, you know, you really step in and bring some great solutions.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I would say, you know, one of my biggest programs is and biggest target markets is the self-employed borrower, right? So that class of people typically has good credit. They know how to manage their money.
Right.
They're very responsible. Clearly, they manage a company, right? So there's a lot that goes into managing a company. So for borrowers that have demonstrated an ability to manage a business, be self-employed, manage their cash flow for at least 2 years, we can, you know, look at doing bank statement loans for them. So where they're able, you know, their CPAs are able to write off some of their expenses and deductions through the current tax rules, ultimately that lowers their adjusted gross income on their tax returns and doesn't allow them to buy as much home as they may want to, right?
Yep.
So we have other ways of qualifying those borrowers, and, you know, we'll look at 12 months of personal bank statements or 12 months of business bank statements, and we'll dig into those statements and use that income to qualify in lieu of tax returns. So it's a nice way for a proven borrower who's, you know, has demonstrated ability to repay their bills, who can't qualify for a traditional loan. We've got a way to get them into a home now for as little as 10% down. the rates are clearly be better with 20% down, but right. you can get into a home with 10% down, and you know those scores are going to typically start at 600 and work their way up, and the higher yeah. your credit scores, clearly the better rates you would get.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting too. You know the tax laws allow self-employed people to write off so much of their income with deductible expenses and cost and fees to run their business and type such. Unfortunately, they don't provide an outlet, on the mortgage side, that's, government insured or government backed, for those same people that, so I guess we could get into a whole other conversation about government interference
yeah, right?
in our financial lives, but thankfully, you guys come in and provide, the solutions for those particular people. I'm one of them. It's always a catch 22, and I talk to I do lots of counseling with potential clients who are self-employed and they're kind of thinking, well, I want to be able to buy a house, but I write off all my income. What should I show on my next year's tax? If I want to buy a home next year,
sure.
What do I need to write on my tax returns? And so it's a conversation I have with them. Well, depending on what price range you want to buy and kind of where your income could potentially be at. Would you rather, take a slightly higher interest rate on your mortgage and not pay any taxes
because sure,
you don't
absolutely.
Have to? It's all legit. It's by the tax law. Or, would you rather, pay a huge tax bill and get a mortgage with a slightly lower interest rate?
I mean, that's money you could be putting into your down payment.
Right.
I grew up in a blue-collar family where my father was self-employed. And, it's the same old conundrum, right? You file your taxes, you write off everything so you don't show that much income. So, we all grew up, we go to church with, play sports with, you can probably name, 10 people if you sat down and made a list of it who are probably self-employed and, they live modestly, right?
Yep.
Because that's what the tax laws allow them to buy, right? They may have a lot of money to put down and they could afford, they got the cash flow to be able to afford a bigger payment, but just the way the lending rules are set up, they're typically going to be in a ranch style house, $150,000. I mean, that was my experience with, growing up. So,
yep.
These programs today allow us alternative ways to be able to calculate a borrower's income, which will allow them to go and get the type of house that they dreamed about and get them into a program with you still got to have a substantial down payment and you have to qualify for the loan. But it does open up some opportunities to be able to get into some homes that, that door has been shut on people for a long time.
Definitely. If you're out there, you want to buy a house, need some creative solutions, be sure to call us anytime. 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, talking about mortgage products that don't fit into a specific box. Anything outside government insured, government backed, really great for self-employed people. Or if you've had a credit event, in the last few years, definitely this is something that can be beneficial for you. And Andy, you directly... You don't work with the end client, someone who's buying a house. That's not who you really work with. You work with people like myself.
Correct.
Who want to make sure that when someone who wants to buy a house calls me or calls a lender that we've got an outlet to provide with them. So kind of give us your experience. And this is what you've done since you got in the business, working directly with, loan officers to bring them knowledge. And we do have a lot of loan officers who listen to the show. Kind of talk about that experience and dealing with the loan officer itself and, how you, give some of this knowledge out.
Yeah, right. So, in the mid-2000s, there were mortgage brokers everywhere, right? I mean,
yeah.
Every building.
Lots changed.
Yeah, lots has changed, right? So there's different rules set up around that now. But it's interesting, the brokers that are in business now, again, they're typically going after that government type of product, right? And so these programs haven't been around for a long, long time. It's funny, I even go into some offices and, I used to always get, well, are those programs even legal?
Yeah.
Because, everybody's got the negative connotations of what happened in the mid-2000s, right, the late 2000s. And, it takes a little bit to get the conversation going and for people to understand that this isn't the market that it used to be.
Right.
So again, it's borrowers, you know, clearly this is an underserved market, and we'll get into a little bit of some statistics that I can share with you in a little bit.
We'd love that.
But this is, you know, gives borrowers or brokers, I guess, loan officers, another program to be able to go out and sell to the public, right? I mean, most of the loan, real estate agents nowadays, if a borrower walks in to look at a house and they ask them a few questions, if that potential buyer mentions that they had a bankruptcy or went through a divorce and, you know, had some troubled times, more times than not, the real estate agent would just say, hey, thanks for coming out. You know, why don't you come back in a couple years once your credit's cleaned up, right? I mean,
right.
I'm sure you hear that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So this, the programs that, you know, we offer will allow you to go back to those real estate agents and say, hey, when you have somebody like that walk in, you know, to your office or want to look at a house, I've got some short-term loans, products that can get somebody back into a house even with challenged credit, allow them to get their legs back underneath them, allow them to rebuild their credit, allow them to demonstrate that they have the ability to repay that loan. And then once you have their credit, you know, reestablished, you can look at maybe putting them into a better loan through a different agency, different channel.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I mean, like I've said many times already, the first part of the show is, you know, we've done a lot of business together, and it is a situation where, you know, we're creating solutions to make things happen, but there's always the chance of, you know, things changing in the future too, and coming back to that client, being able to offer a new, maybe even better solution. Just like the industry has changed, these programs are continually evolving and even getting better. what's been your experience like? You know, started out, you know, doing some subprime stuff. Some of that was really good, some of it was not. Now it's, you know, really good solutions out there now. Not to, you know, what has that been like?
You know, for me, interestingly enough, I went to school to be an engineer, right?
Yeah.
I think my dad probably, you know, rolls his eyes even today. But so my background was mechanical engineering, and I enjoy solving problems. And I think that's why I enjoy this side of the business so well, and why I do so good at it.
Yep.
Is that, you know, I have the ability to talk with loan officers like yourself and listen and hear the problems or the struggles that a particular borrower is going through, and then take a step back and see if there's a way that we can structure a loan that would allow them to get into a home. So the good thing for me, the thing that I enjoy the most about this type of work, is it gives us a chance to help people that right now don't have any options. I mean, you know, I would say 1 out of 10 of my loans is probably, you know, for a divorced couple, and
yeah,
they struggle, right? I mean, the departure home, for whatever reason, got behind on the payments or just didn't get paid and went into foreclosure, short sale, or whatever. And
typically more from a dispute than the fact that they can't pay for it.
Absolutely.
Right.
But now it's on your credit report, right?
Yep. Now you're screwed.
And for how long?
7 years.
There you go. So we have programs that would allow for people to, you know, for as little as 1 day out, you could be 1 day out of a BK foreclosure short sale.
Yep.
And granted, you got to have a large down payment, but
right,
you can get back in a home, right, and move back on the other side of town.
Beats the heck out of renting, for especially in the upper price range. I mean,
absolutely,
you're going to pay so much.
That's right. But it allows you to get your legs back underneath. You get your family over to the other side of town or wherever it is that you're choosing to do, and to reestablish your life. And then once you've, you know, got your legs back underneath you, you can – again, go back to your loan officer and get into a better loan. But, you know, while we do have a big portion of our business that focuses, you know, with people that went through that life event, you know, their family member got sick and they were taking care of mom and dad and got behind on their bills, or they had a bankruptcy, foreclosure, short sale. There's a huge section of society that fall into that bucket. But interestingly enough, we have programs that cater to people with really good credit.
Right.
You know, our programs go up to loan sizes of $2.5 and $3 million.
Yeah.
So for people on the high end that have, you know, stellar credit, 700, 760 scores or more, that are looking to buy larger homes, they can't necessarily go and find those sorts of loans just every door they knock on either.
Right.
So we have programs that will allow them to put, you know, a little bit, 10% down versus your other avenues are what, 25-20% down?
Yep.
So for as little as 10% down, they can get into a jumbo loan with us. Again, in that just missed area, you know, your high 600s, low 700s. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. You know, I think so much of it comes down to, you know, like you said, you know, I'm in no way an engineer, never have been, didn't go to school for it. But I too enjoy finding solutions. And quite frankly, I hate saying no. When someone calls me and they want to buy a house, man, I want to help them out. Of course, you know, we always come down to the fact that, you know, the ability to repay.
Sure.
So loans don't exist like they do, you know, back in the day, back in the wild, wild west.
Thank goodness.
Right. So, but you know, I hate saying no, so I always want to provide a solution for clients. And and this is such a big outlet to that. With that being said, you know, you work directly with a lot of loan officers, but – you know, these are programs that still aren't really known about, aren't really talked about. And when a loan officer, you know, maybe a loan officer hears about this type of product, someone calls them and they, oh yeah, I can offer that. Okay. And maybe this is, you know, putting you on the spot, but I won't ask you to name any names, but is there a difference with a loan officer who tries to provide this versus someone who, you know, really understands, you know, what is taking place, what's going on, and being able to communicate with the client?
Well, I would say, you know, you would have to – what's the opportunity cost?
Right.
If you are on the front end and good at what you do and you understand the lending space, you understand the government and agency loans that are available to people. And like you said, if you don't want to say no – it's real easy to take a dive into somebody's credit report, and as soon as you see something wrong, just dismiss them, right, and say, hey, sorry.
It's too easy. Everybody does that.
Absolutely.
I hate that.
That's right. Me too. So, and we all know people who struggle with that. You know? And
yeah.
So for the loan officer that looks at the glass half full and is aware of companies like mine that have alternative lending programs to be able to cater to this market, you have the ability to say yes when other people say no. So, you know, we're smart enough to know the banks don't – these aren't government-backed programs.
Right.
The banks aren't diving into these sorts of programs. So for you as a mortgage broker, you have a unique ability to be able to say yes where other people said no. And quite honestly, you not only get the person into a loan that, you know, they wouldn't have been able to get into through other channels,
right?
But you'll get a chance to be able to help them get into a better loan as soon as you can get their credit fixed right. You can work with them and hold their hand and guide them and get them to the right resources to be able to get their credit fixed or get their income fixed or whatever it is that's holding them back. And you know what? Just a few short years down the road, you've now got that borrower back on track and their life is going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, and for so many people, it starts with, you know, owning a home. You know, maybe they got their one credit event, whatever, they totally knocked them off track. But, you know, I've worked with countless clients who, you know, once they got into their new home, I mean, it just kind of like hit a switch for them and kind of turned everything around.
Absolutely. And, you know, interestingly enough, you know, birds of a feather flock together or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Odds are they know, you know, a handful of people in a similar situation as well that and they'll be able to go out and talk to them and share their story that you were able to help them get into a home and, you know, just create a little bit of velocity for us.
Yeah, definitely. If you got questions, be sure to reach out. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. You can call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. Check us out on Instagram, Carolina's Mortgage, at Carolina's Mortgage. Talking about non-QM, non-agency products. You know, we got Andy Purcell here in studio with us. Andy, let's kind of get a little bit nerdy and kind of go through some of the different products that you got, kind of talk about some guidelines, where that's going to fit people, you know, the self-employed person, the you know, foreign national, you know, people who, you know, are over from it for a time. I know we've got a cash flow investment program
for
people who are buying an investment property, but maybe – you know, again, writing off all their income, which I think we've done all these types of loans together. So it's something I'm very, very familiar with. Obviously, you're the king of this knowledge. let's kind of go through some of these programs and talk, maybe just highlight a few of where this, where these programs fit in the marketplace.
Sure. And we'll just keep it at a high level, but, you know, there's a big push these days. The real estate market's bubbling, right? And so there's lots of investors out here looking to go into a lot of these neighborhoods where the properties got foreclosed on, and they're just literally coming into these areas and buying up these distressed homes and going in and fixing them, and putting, you know, some resources and elbow grease into them and, right. And fixing them up. We cater to people that have a real estate portfolio. And as you well know, if your Fannies and Freddies of the world, you know, once you own, I think, what is it, 10 properties?
10, yep.
Yeah, then you can't really do any more loans with them.
Right.
So we will allow those sorts of investors or landlords to do loans with us, and we can, you know, do up to 20 properties under normal, what we consider full doc,
right.
Which is what your W-2s, pay stubs,
right.
Tax returns. But then we have some alternative programs where we will allow people to have an unlimited number of properties, and we won't ask for tax returns or the debt ratios, calculations and stuff. It's more mm-hmm. of a debt service calculation thing where we'll look at the average market rent and, you know, divide it by the borrower's payment. And
so how do we get those numbers?
Well, that's going to come off the appraiser.
Okay.
So the appraiser is going to go out and look at the property. And
so just like we get an appraisal value, an appraiser will also state that, hey, this home should rent for X.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
And then we will take that and look at what the borrower's payment is. And if the ratio is, you know, the right way, then we can put borrowers in the home for 20% down
nice.
With a, you know, mid 600 scores. So,
yep.
Again, you can have an unlimited number of properties, and you're not worried about verification of employments. You're not worried about debt-to-income ratios, taxes, and that sort of thing. So a little niche for us as well is that we will allow all of our investment properties, we will allow title to be held in an LLC. So,
yeah, which is, you know, a lot different than, again, you know, your typical standard company. And if you want to own a home and entitled and have that titled in a business – if it's a rental property, that actually makes it a commercial loan. So, you know, your residential or your bank mortgage company is not going to allow you to do that.
Yeah, but that's a nice little niche, right? I mean,
definitely is.
If you own rental properties, we all know the risk. There's some risk there, right? Somebody
yeah.
falls down the steps and cracks their head open
yep.
or breaks their back or whatever. I mean,
you better have it titled in an LLC.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah, exactly. So that's that is a nice program that's out there. You mentioned foreign nationals. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, in the Carolinas, we do see a decent amount of foreign nationals. And, you know, a foreign national in our world is someone who lives and works in another country who's looking to buy an investment property in our
right.
area. So with the proper U.S. visa documentation,
right.
We can look at getting them into an investment property here in the United States and, you know, with as little as 25% down. So that's another little niche market that real estate agents and loan officers can kind of market to, right? I mean,
yeah.
anything, any area that will help a real estate agent sell some properties is probably being – it would be welcome news to,
yeah.
to the realtor. And
yeah, whenever I meet a lot of real estate agents, obviously, whenever I – you know, meet with them. I said, hey, if you, they would talk about, hey, well, what are your products? What are your programs? I said, hey, bottom line is if you got someone who wants to buy a house, get them to me and I'll find a solution for them.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, we, you know, we don't want to turn our nose up to anything. So let's,
right.
let's take a hard look at it and see if it's something that we can, you know, can make work. So, a nice little, caveat we have is for, it's not one that we do a lot of, but it's good to have it out there for borrowers that have a high net worth,
yeah.
where they've got, you know, north of $500,000 in mm-hmm. liquid assets. We have a program called an asset qualification program where, again, no tax returns, no 4506s, no verification of income. Say you had a business and you sold it and you got a couple million dollars sitting
right.
in some sort of an investment account. You know, if you can show that you have a high net worth, we can get you into a home for 25% down without having to ask you for the tax returns.
Perfect example. I had a guy just maybe a year or two ago, sold a business. Him and his wife actually sold a business in Colorado, and it was about $2.5 million sale price, and they were going to get paid out for 2.5 years. Like, and so we had 2.5 years left of payments that there, and there were substantial payments plus the $2.5 million lump sum. Well, couldn't take them on a conventional loan because conventional, you have to be able to verify your income is going to continue for at least 3 years.
Sure.
And so they were outside that box. So perfect example right there, you know, doing an asset qualification loan and making it happen.
Oh, it's you know, for those type of people, let's be honest, if you're the financial advisor for that customer, what keeps you awake at night? You're worried about them, you know, the stock market crashing?
Right.
Or you're worried about if they choose to take their money and move it to one of the larger institutions or whatever, that somebody, yeah. Or the obvious, that they come and decide to pay cash for a house. So this is a way for you to, you know, strengthen some relationships with your financial advisors as well. And you know, get out and drum up some conversations. And there's lots more of these borrowers out there than I ever knew were out there. So it's
right. I get calls from them every day.
Yeah, right. You know, one of the things, the other things before I forget is, you know, we get calls a lot for non-warrantable condos.
Right.
So that's a product that I think crosses your plate. You call me very often about that. And, you know, the biggest thing in there is that we run into complexes where, you know, the investor concentration, where they're all investment properties, and
right,
and we're okay with that. It can be, you know, we allow for a high investor concentration.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, you know, it's more you know, high level stuff, but you know, the homeowners out there, definitely if they're looking at condos, definitely need to, you know things like this. But you know, if you're buying a condo in a development that's, you know, owned by, you know, 25% of the condos are rental properties, mm-hmm. which is what happens a lot.
Absolutely.
You can definitely be blindsided by that later on in the process. That makes it a non-warrantable condo. There's warrantable and there's non-warrantable. And I actually had a call just earlier this week where a guy called me and said, hey, I'm looking at buying a condo down in Myrtle Beach. And I was like, oh, well, let me ask you a few questions. You know, does it have an on-site leasing center? He's like, well, it's non-warrantable already. I was like, oh, my
right.
goodness.
Yeah, right.
I was like, thanks for going ahead and let me know. I mean, you know, typically you don't get that that type of knowledge. So definitely a big outlet, especially in resort areas, if you need a second home condo type of thing.
University areas is big, where the kids are renting a lot of the properties.
Right. What, that's always a big deal. But hey, if you are looking for that beach house condo, call us anytime, 704-999-6646. This is Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We got Andy Purcell in studio with us talking about creative ways to get you into a home. Whether you're self-employed or you had a credit event in the recent past, we've got creative solutions to help you out. And get you in that new home and help you get your life back on track. We're life coaches, Andy.
There you go. Absolutely. You know, one of the things you were asking earlier about, I was looking through one of my slides, and you know, since 2015, Angel Oak is, you know, we've been doing these loans and securitizing them, and you know, we've done a little over $4-5 billion worth of loans. I think it's somewhere north of 11,000 loans that we've had securitized, and only 8 of those loans have gone into any sort of foreclosure or type of credit event. So it just goes to show you that
a strong,
if you have underwriters that fully look at these loans and underwrite them and document the borrower's ability to repay, that these types of loans can and will perform.
Yeah, and it's good to, I mean, that ratio is actually phenomenal. I mean, it's much stronger than I would have ever thought. And I thought it was really strong, but it is good to throw out there that, you know, this is not, you know, the old days. I think, you know, that kind of still does have, you know, some type of a negative connotation, but these are great loans that just fit a niche that is definitely out there.
Well, with the regulation, you know, there's a lot of government regulation now. Right. There's a lot of compliance pieces of it. You know, some of the obvious things are, back in the heyday, I think the average score on what they considered subprime loans was 580, and today, you know, our average FICO is 680.
Yeah, big difference.
Huge difference. And, you know, where it used to be 0% down payment, I mean, now it's a minimum 10% down payment. So it's nothing like it used to be, and I think the performance of these loans, you know, shows that.
Yeah, that definitely speaks for itself. Where do you, you know, you've seen where the industry's gone over the last 15 years. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, Fannie and Freddie even, you know, dissolving or getting even stricter and creating a bigger space for companies like yours to, you know, to buy up these mortgages on the private side, completely unbacked by the government, completely private. Where do you see that kind of taking off or moving in any direction?
Well, unfortunately, that's a little bit above my pay grade. So,
yeah.
you know, I hear in some of the meetings, you know, and with my regionals and stuff, that there's lots of chatter like that. And when you go to the MBA conferences, you hear a lot of the regional guys that run the regional banks. You hear the chatter about that. But I don't really have a lot of intel on that side of the business, unfortunately.
No, that's good. I still like to speculate. And,
yeah, right.
You know, throw out my opinion.
Well, I would agree with you. I think that there's probably some definite traction going in that, you know, moving in that direction, but I wouldn't be the right person to answer those questions.
Yeah. I guess for the time being, you know, we work with what we've got and we make it work, and you certainly do. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Call me anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646, talking with Andy Purcell. I mean, you know, so much valuable information, Andy. I mean, the biggest problem is we can't get this information out big enough, right?
Absolutely.
You know, how do we best combat that, and, you know, making sure that, you know, real estate agents, you know, wannabe homeowners, you know, how do we get, you know, other loan officers that don't know these programs or think they're too difficult to learn, how do we get that information out there?
Well, it starts, you know, clearly doing what we're doing. And Angel Oak is actually on the front end of this, and that's why they have experienced guys like myself. So, you know, we've got hundreds of account executives across the country that this is all we do. So, again,
right.
we don't do the govy and agency stuff. We're strictly focused on these sorts of products. So
right.
when we walk into broker shops or mortgage lending institutions, you know, our elevator pitch is, if you've got a turn down, you know, give us a shot at it. Let's take a look at it.
Right.
And then, you know, we do things like this. We do real estate presentations. We do MBA conventions and stuff where, you know, we'll get up and talk about it. And that's really, you know, where it's got to start, right? I mean, these programs are out here now. They're performing. The traction's coming, and it's just up to us to get the word out. And I think really and truly, where we'll, if we can get to the real estate agents and the realtors,
right.
because they're on the front lines, right? They're out in the trenches. They're the ones that are having a lot of the first talk with the prospective borrowers,
right?
And they can, you know, ask the right questions. You know, it's interesting. Some more other statistics that I've been, you know, given.
Yeah, I would love to hear some of those stats you got.
If you were going to guess the number of borrowers, percentage-wise, in the household that have a credit score of under 680, what would you guess?
Man, 40%?
It's over 50%.
Is it over 50?
And 33% of households have under a 620.
Wow.
So there was over 15 million self-employed borrowers. On a bad side, there was 1.5 million foreclosure filings in the last 2 years, 18 million foreclosure filings since the crisis began in 2008. So, you know, for me being in this space, there is a huge opportunity to help a lot of people who haven't, you know, had anywhere to go. So the word's going to get out, you know, there are some programs available to help people get back into a home. And that's really what we're here for, right? That's our goal, is to try to get the word out and just get the calls. And let's take a look at the scenario and see if there's a way we can structure a loan to make it a win-win to get somebody into a home.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously we're in a hot market right now, much like we were, you know, in the early 2000s when things got a little crazy. Kind of a multiple question here, but what do you see driving these particular products? Is it the market, or is it the true desire to, you know, fill a qualified niche that that needs to be served.
Well, it's interesting. You know, one of the things I should have talked about that it's different in today's market than it was in the mid 2000s is that there's AMCs, which
right.
appraisal management companies.
You can, yeah. So, you know, when you go to buy a house, you're using a lender. The lender orders an appraisal, but the lender's not calling the appraiser directly. There's a third party company that the lender orders the appraisal through. That company has the access to the appraiser. Lenders are not allowed to talk to any appraiser.
Absolutely.
So that's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah, and that helps control, you know, I think we would all agree that that probably helps control some of the values of the homes.
Collusion, fraud, prevents
absolutely.
All that.
That's
yep.
right. But, you know, there's a big push to get borrowers, qualified borrowers, into homes. And, you know, for years, there was a lot of homes that were in foreclosure, right? They were beat up or whatever.
Right.
And neighborhoods that just went downhill and everything. So, especially in Charlotte, you'll notice that if you get into any of the uptown areas, my goodness, some of the neighborhoods, it's just going through amazing upfits. And,
yeah.
and there's lots of activity up there. So, you know, these sorts of programs, again, will cater to different aspects of the lending environment, landscape,
yeah.
if you will. And it will give people opportunities to, whether you're looking to be an owner-occupied property or you're looking for investment-type property, it'll give you some options for, you know, being able to get a loan to get into some of those homes.
Yeah. So where do you see it's hot? I think the market's going to – certainly for our area, you know, you see some slowdowns, you know, from a nationwide perspective. But I think in our area, the Charlotte, Fort Mill, Rock Hill area – still very much on fire, and I personally believe that that's going to continue for a while. Where do you see, you know, this industry going as far as, you know, the products and programs you got? Do you feel like it's encompassing the people that are being missed by those, you know, government insured, government backed companies? Do you think you see any expansion? What do you feel like is not being served right now?
Well, you know, it's hard to speculate, right? Because those are decisions that, you know, we've got guys in high levels that are on the front end of the asset management side and the capital markets.
The big nerds.
And, yeah, exactly.
Right.
That are out, you know, talking to investors and stuff and the like. So I think the industry probably has needs to have a couple more years of, you know, documented ability to repay. Let's see how these mortgage-backed securities are going to perform, right? And I think that, you know, a snapshot, you know, 12 to 18 months from now, and we've got a 2-3 year track record of these loans performing, clearly some guidelines would probably thaw out and allow for, you know, some a little bit more aggressive type of programs. But, you know, me personally, I don't want to see high loan to values. I think that where we're at with the 10% down is a good spot. I think that if a borrower's gone through a challenging time in their life and they've shown that they have the ability to save some money, you know, and put 10%, if not 20% down, I think they're headed in the right direction. I just think it would be premature to start offering, you know, people no money down to get into a home if they've gone through a credit event, right?
100% on track with you there. Well, yeah, let's not reward terrible behavior. Let's reward people who deserve and
absolutely.
Got the qualification, you know, factors that warrant it. And that's what you offer and they're phenomenal at it.
And I think a big takeaway for me on this side is that, you know, every person that has a bad credit score is certainly not a bad person.
100%.
Now, there are some, you know, some rotten apples in the bunch, and we all know that.
Hey, I know some good ones with great credit scores.
Well, that's right. Yeah, right. And to be quite honest with you, we don't give a loan to every single person that maybe just qualifies, right? I mean, it needs to make sense. So, you know, we do manual underwrites. It has to make sense. And we want to feel good that the borrower is going to repay that loan. So, you know, just because our rates may be slightly higher than some of the other things doesn't mean we're turning a blind eye to anything. So we're going to fully document the income, the ability to repay, the reserves, the time on the job, the housing history,
right.
You know, and make sure that it makes sense.
Cool. So if you got questions, be sure to reach out anytime during or after the show. 704-999-6646. If you've ever been turned down in the past, definitely give us a shout. Let us take another look. If you want to own a home, we want to help you. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, 704-999-6646. You want to buy, we want to help. Andy, I mean, really just phenomenal information. Anything else? I got a couple more questions for you, but anything else we missed from a program's kind of standpoint? Any more information we need to make sure that people know about?
No, I mean, I think that you've covered everything. I mean, we could, you know, continue to get nerdy in what we do, right? And
right.
Drill down into, you know, guidelines and stuff like that. But I think the time that we've spent talking about some of the programs at a high level, just, you know, hopefully for the audience, it will open their eyes and let them know that programs are out there. There is some help out there. And to reach out to, you know, loan officers like yourself and let's have a conversation.
Definitely.
Let's see if there's a way for us to get you in a home and we'll do everything we can to help.
That's the story. Yeah. You know, I think it really comes down. I talk so often on the show about, you know, working with people that genuinely care. And you know, I say it and I almost hate saying it, but you know, that's where it starts for me. And that's why I hate saying no, because
absolutely,
you know, there's so many statistics that go into, being a homeowner versus being a renter, you know, all the wealth statistics, you know, the financial security of owning a home, what that does for you from just a personal emotional standpoint, a financial standpoint. So, you know, I really go into great lengths to make sure that we've got solutions. So when someone calls me, I don't have to tell them no. I can say, hey, let's look at all your available options. And you, of course, work directly with me to help me provide that. And you work with, you know, directly with lenders to so that, you know, anyone can provide that. I just do it better than anybody else you work with, right?
Right. You know, I think for me, these last 4.5 years with Angel Oak, the thing that, you know, excites me the most, clearly, to your point, it's helping people that have gone through a life event. I mean, I've been there. I'm sure we've all been there, right?
Yep.
And we know somebody that
hey, we were in the mortgage industry when all that stuff went down, right? We went through it too.
Absolutely. But I'm excited for the self-employed borrowers, to be quite honest with you, because you know, not to have to be pigeonholed into a lesser house than you want, or you've been in that house for 15 years and you'd never have looked at moving into a better home just because you didn't want to fight the fight on how are you going to qualify, right?
Right.
And, you know, were you going to refile your taxes to show more income and pay more taxes just to get into a house? And
right.
So the bank statement loan for me is an exciting loan because it gives those guys that clearly, you know, got everything, they're doing everything right.
Yep.
Gives them a chance to go out and get the home of their dreams. And, you know, that's why we're in this business, right?
It's a perfect story. I'll close with this last one. Just approved it yesterday. Great example. Gentleman and his wife owned several different businesses. Went to buy a new home construction, and under contract, you know, they got their builder lender, you know, their in-house lender that, in my opinion, ain't worth anything. Went ahead and pre-qualified them. They write a $15,000 earnest money check, and so now they're on the hook. And guess what? You know, builder lender. Oh. We can't do it. You write off too much of your income. So now this guy's stuck. He's out $15,000 because their mortgage company told him he was approved. He's self-employed, owns several businesses. Thankfully, I've got, you know, I'm known for this, you know, thanks to you, you know, and I get the word out. And the builder lender actually contacted me and said, hey, I got a deal for you.
There you go.
And so we got him approved in just a few hours. And he's set to close later on this month. So, yeah, I mean, that's just one out of, you know, dozens and dozens of stories we got. So if that ever happens to you, if that's you, if you're self-employed, you want to buy a house, but, you know, you've been told no in the past, don't hesitate. Give us a call with any questions you got. We'll help you work through it. 704-999-6646. You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next Saturday. Andy, you're awesome, man. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
All right. We'll catch everyone next week.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.